Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Wednesday. It is the 2nd of February, 2022. I know you were expecting me to start with Sonny and Cher, but we gave you the regular theme today. So with me today, I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, don't panic, everyone, but I'm here early.
we're not here for anything bad. I promise it'll be okay. We're actually here to talk a little bit about something called right to repair. And we should probably spend a second talking about what that actually is, which is basically quantifying things that like if you bought something and you own it, it should be okay for you to fix it. That's basically where we're at.
Yeah, that's pretty much the summary. We have covered right to repair pretty extensively, I feel, for the Mac Observer.
We have.
And that's what it is. It's just when you buy something, the company should provide tools and replacement parts. Mm-hmm. And not only is that, you know, you bought the device, you own it, but people also argue it's good for the environment.
Yeah. Because if I don't have to buy it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not buying a whole new one is a much nicer way to go if you can just fix the one you have. In fact, the CEO of iFixit, Kyle Weens, was right here on TMO with me to talk about when Apple started doing that with some of their, screens and batteries on iPhones, I think are things that like you can just order apart from Apple if you're just anybody and need to fix it.
Yeah, something like that.
So and there's instructions available and all that kind of stuff so that you can get it done and have it be legitimate. I know we've also talked about times when a third party repair was considered, you know, voiding your warranty basically, and so Apple wouldn't fix it, or we've seen this with other things as well. So
another example, so I found this article written by Jeff a while ago where there was an issue where replacing your iPhone 13, either trying to do it by yourself or with a, you know, quote, non-authorized repair provider, mm-hmm. may break Face ID.
Yeah, I remember that. So there's, it kind of goes back and forth. Like, most people think it makes a lot of sense that it should be a thing that you can do, at least to a certain extent, right? Some basic mm-hmm. stuff makes it so that you can get more life out of the thing that you have. That's always a good sign. So we're here in particular, though, to talk about a new development on that front.
Right. So Apple isn't the only company that has been in this right to repair debate. Another area is farmers, mm-hmm. because I guess there are some manufacturers like John Deere. I'm going to call them out because that's really... John Deere and Apple, I feel, are probably the two most popular or notorious, where I guess John Deere only lets, they only allowed their own certified technicians to repair equipment, mm-hmm. which makes it hard and expensive for farmers. So there is a bill that was recently introduced in the Senate. It's called the Agricultural Right to Repair Act, and it was sponsored by Senator John Tester of Montana. Mm-hmm. And the goal is to, like I was implying it, it's they want to help farmers be able to independently repair their own equipment by requiring that these companies to provide, you know, parts or at the very least manuals and mm-hmm. Remove things like DRM from their software, as an example, because that's another aspect.
Yeah.
So it says the act would require spare parts, software codes, manuals to farmers. And apparently, as part of this news, the owner of John Deere, Deere & Co., they are currently fighting two lawsuits. They're being accused of monopolizing the tractor repair market.
Yeah.
And so one of the quotes I found was the lawsuit contends Deere & Co. prevents farmers from repairing their equipment by, you know, blah, 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 requiring mm-hmm. its own dealerships to give the repairs. And so, and in another quote, in an in an interview, Senator Tester also says, I think that the more we can empower farmers to be able to control their own destiny, which is what this bill does, the safer food chains are going to be.
Yeah.
So it's like kind of an overall thing of how right to repair can help everyone.
Yeah, it really can, especially in a case like this where, first of all, for people who don't know, John Deere makes an awful lot of equipment. So it is entirely possible for a functioning farm to have many, many, many things with John Deere's name on them and to not be able to do some basic repair on any of those things yourself is that's going to be really detrimental. Something happens to your combine in the middle of the afternoon, like you still have daylight left. You need something, you need to be able to do something about it.
Got to harvest those crops.
Yeah. So I grew up in the wilderness and I know a number of people who are in exactly this position and I have seen this happen. And so, for a long time, I think there was a lot of, well, what are you going to do? But somehow the sentiment around that is shifting because I think one of the lawsuits, like there was a person who had the stop engine light come on his tractor. And so he turned it off, didn't know what else to do. Called the Apple authorized, the John Deere authorized company. And they said, yeah, sure, we'll send someone out to look at it for you. Give us your debit card number because we need that before we'll even send somebody out. So he gave them his card. They didn't say how long it was going to be or that he was going to get to approve the charges. And like $600 later, a guy came out like, unscrewed a cap on something on the engine and like dried it off and screwed it back on and then left. Like,
wow.
They had a 5-minute conversation about like what he does with the tractor or something. And then he left and it was $600. So, I feel like if that's your business model, then yes, you should be defending that in court. I'm very curious to see where that's going to go, but for this to come hot on the heels of, and I think there are two lawsuits. So,
yep.
And that's only from one of them. So I can't imagine what we're going to get in discovery on the other one. Because this is the same sort of thing. If you remember the McDonald's ice cream machine story, this is the same sort of thing. People have just sort of been routing around, companies that are trying to put up these kind of walls because it's just not practical, anymore. So, I'm watching this with great interest as a person who, comes from a place that could probably be described as John Deere country. And because, like I said, everybody has them there. When I took my driver's test, they asked questions about, what you do when there's farm equipment on the road. Like, yeah. So I definitely want to find out how this is going to go because I think there's definitely a middle ground between like John Deere's stance on this and, which is nobody should ever touch anything under the hood. And if I were able to assemble enough spare parts and had the know-how, I can just build my own tractor. Like, there's a middle ground that will probably be more amenable to most people, and I really hope they find it. So,
yeah,
we'll see. We have a little bit more to talk about today. We have another interesting thing to discuss. But first, I want to take a minute and talk to you about our sponsor this week, who is Thesis. So I'm going to start with a question. How many unread emails do you have in your inbox right now? You don't have to tell me. Are you procrastinating on that inbox or are you procrastinating on something else at the moment by listening to the podcast instead? If you're having trouble getting things done or if you're just having trouble even getting things started, Thesis can help. Thesis makes personalized supplement formulas based on the science of nootropics, which are powerful but natural ingredients. So you take a 3-minute online quiz, answer a few questions, and Thesis will recommend nootropic formulas customized for you. I've tried them, and it's really helpful when you have lots and lots of things going on and you kind of have to manage all of it at once. This can help make that a lot easier. Over 60,000 people have used Thesis for better results, and now you can too. Right now, Thesis is offering my listeners 10% off your first starter kit when you visit takethesis.com/TDO. Go to takethesis.com/TDO, take the quiz, discover your unique nootropic combination, and you can save 10% on that first starter kit. That's takethesis.com/TDO. Make sure to use that URL to let them know we sent you. I'd like to thank Thesis for sponsoring the show today. Now, our other thing to discuss today is we have some tips about troubleshooting your hardware, we'll call it.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew, as you discovered with your new M1 machine, there's not really like there's not a, you know, hold down R or hold down Command R for recovery mode.
Yes. And I just discovered this a few days ago. I was doing something that required that I enter recovery mode. But unlike my old Intel MacBook, like you said, you restart it. While the screen goes black, you hold down Command and R to go into recovery mode. But that is different now with M1 Max.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have to press a keyboard combination now. All you have to do is just hold down the power button, and you'll see a message pop up that says something like, here's where you're going. Just keep holding it down until it loads.
Mm-hmm.
From what I can gather, it sounds like you have to have an active network connection to do this.
Yeah.
I think that's maybe a security feature.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's pretty much it. It's different now.
Yeah. Well, it gives you a little window. I think it says like loading startup options or something like that. And then you'll get mm-hmm. an option for recovery mode. And then all you have to do is figure out the thing you want to do. So, you know, if it's restore from time machine, like if you need to do use Migration Assistant and restore mm-hmm. from a time machine backup, that's one of the options in here. You can reinstall the operating system from this window. It looks, once you get into it, it looks like recovery mode, basically.
Yeah.
So, but getting to it is a little different than what it used to be, because it used to be Command R and then sort of wait. And then the other ones give you other options from there. And then one of the other ones we wanted to talk about was when you need to restart a phone, which sounds like a weird thing, but it used to be that you would hold like the volume up and the power button, like if you press and hold, or the power button, the top button and the volume button, like if you held them down for long mm-hmm. enough, then your phone would reboot. But with Face ID, you don't have a home button anymore. So you don't have a home button and a power button to hold down and wait. So it's slightly different to do that. So what you do is, for that one, press volume up, just press and let go, just, you know, click it like you're just turning up the volume. So you go volume up and then volume down, and then you hold the button on the side forever and ever and ever. It takes a long time. And it will say slide to power off. Keep holding the button down, and it will continue to say slide to power off, and then keep holding the button down, and then it'll reboot, and you'll get the Apple logo and the progress bar and everything. So if you need to force that to happen, if you need a little bit more than what turn it all the way off and turn it all the way on again gives you, and sometimes you do have to force that, that's how, mm-hmm. if your phone is Face ID, is volume up, volume down, and then hold power forever. So there's your pro tip.
I think, isn't that called DFU mode? I forget what that stands for.
DFU mode is a slightly different thing. And it's, I will remember what it stands for as we sit here and talk about it. But it's, that used to be what you could do if it was like super bricked and you needed to put it in a mode where like the only way to get out of it is you plug the cable in. Device firmware update, I think is what it is.
Okay.
And then, so when you did that, the only way to get out of that mode once your device is in that mode is plug it into a computer. And used to be, you know, iTunes, and now you put it in the Finder and click it in the sidebar, and it goes, hi, this device is in recovery or, you know, something. And then it's sort of like the recovery mode when you hold down the power button on your M1. And it'll go, what do you want to do with it? Do you want to restart it, you know, restore it from zero? Are you trying to just install a new operating system? What do you want to have happen here? And then it will, and then you can, but like it, you will never end up in DFU mode accidentally.
Right.
Like if I'm remembering the steps, it's like plug the cable into the phone and then press the power button, like three times real quick or something, or press and hold it for 3 seconds and then let go and push another button as you plug the cable in. Like, there's no way it's accident. Like, it's a whole, make sure you're only standing on your left foot, and it won't work if the moon is full. Like, I'm only overstating it a little bit. But it's definite. But yeah, DFU mode is a different thing that is useful in its own way, but it's not, like I said, it's not going to be something you're going to do accidentally. So don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But know that it's there if you need it, because it is a good thing to know. And and it can be helpful to know that that's, you know, that restarting is, you know, how to force a restart on your device. If holding down the power button and then slide to power off doesn't, you know, if you do that and it comes back on and it's still not helping, sometimes forcing that reboot can fix whatever it is that you thought restarting might help.
Yeah. I mean, I had to do that on my iPhone 7 Plus once. It was stuck in a boot loop, which was a common bug that other people had. I don't think I had to plug it into the computer, though, so maybe that wasn't DFU mode.
Yeah.
But I think I did have to press some combination of buttons on the iPhone to do the hard reboot, like you were saying.
Yeah.
And fortunately, that fixed it.
Yeah. And you know, like you said, once. So yeah, you don't have to do it very often. But if you do need to do it, and you remember that it was hold the button on the front and the button on the top and wait, now that there's no button on the front, that has changed. So that sometimes is a thing that can catch people up. And a footnote, just to go back to the Mac for a minute, one of the other things that I think is interesting about the M1 machines is that in the old days, you used to have, you know, your computer would act a little weird, and somebody would suggest to you that you need to like reset the PRAM or zap the PRAM. And that's not really a thing that you do anymore on the M1. And the reason for that is because when the M1 reboots, like resetting the PRAM is just something that happens as a matter of course. So it's not a thing you really have to do anymore, because that memory doesn't operate that way anymore. Like on a hardware level, the processing that goes into that and the information that was stored there doesn't stay stored there anymore. So every time you restart your machine, you're automatically zapping the PRAM, if that's a thing you remember having to do. So you don't even have to do that anymore.
Nice.
There are other special things that happen, and there's a bunch of boring explanation for why that is, and we don't need to go into that. But just so you know, like if that's a thing that you remember having to do, if you get an M1 machine, you don't have to do that anymore. So it's kind of nice. All you need is a reboot. And if that doesn't fix the problem that you're having, then you're going to have to solve for something else. But that in particular isn't a thing anymore. And it's kind of nice not to have to do it. Mm-hmm. So there you go. That's going to do it for us today. If you have any other tips you would like for us to discuss, or if you have anything, Andrew's always keeping a lookout for a good topic on Security Friday. So you can get a hold of us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. Andrew, as always, thank you so much for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other. Let's be careful out there. We'll be right back.